Happy Monday! Thank you for tuning in to Align with Plants, Align with Health. This is Lanita on the podcast. Welcome, listeners. I'm happy to have you back again another week. You guys, I'm also doing a video recording right now. This is my first time. Actually, it's the second time. This is going to be the first one that gets up, at least as of now. This is season 5, episode 8. So last episode, episode 7, my listeners, you probably or hopefully you listened to James Prigioni's episode or conversation. I hope you did. There was a lot of amazing information in there. Though he challenged me last week to add video into the podcast. And yeah, I had to take it. he's the friend, the plant guru that challenged me a few years ago to get up right like then. I did it the next day and get my garden planted. We had just moved to the house and it was late winter, like January, or I guess that's not even late winter, like midwinter. And he said, get up and just start going. Don't wait for nothing. And I took that challenge on. So I trust to take any challenges on from him just about that, you know, that have to do with what we're doing here with this plant work. So I'm doing a video recording. And I'm pretty nervous, but I'm feeling more relaxed as I practice a little bit and as I'm going for it. I've actually already had to stop one recording. So this is my second shot at it. It's all one take. It's not live, but I have to do it all in one take. I don't have the equipment to edit and do all of that stuff yet. So welcome. Welcome, YouTube. Welcome, YouTube friends, family, plant family that come across this. Align with Plants, Align with Health is a podcast that I've been doing for about a year and a half now. And it was a bi-weekly podcast, so I've just increased it through the fall and winter to be weekly to keep me on my toes and really stay active and awake during these transitional times. But it's a podcast that helps its listeners as well as myself, because this is what I'm doing. It's the process I'm actually going through and living myself and have been going through. Align with the healing powers of plants. And for a lot of us, we think of plants healing us through food, through medicine, herbs, tinctures, you know, extracts, maybe essential oils even. And all of those ways are parts or the ways that plants heal us. And we talk about those things here on the podcast. Though there is a larger energetic healing, you know, mechanism that plants connect us to. And it's us. It's what we are. It's aligning us with the actual principles that create healthy ecosystems. The message mostly is based around a 3-point message that I became aware of, and that is that a healthy ecosystem is based on nourishment, diversity, and interdependence. And if you're interested in that and what that looks like and sounds like, I'll definitely be talking about it a little bit on this episode and definitely going forward in episodes, because it's really one of the major conversations here, the founding principles. But there's a lot of information in the previous episodes. You can find it on iTunes, again, Align with Plants, Align with Health, and also on podbean.com. I'm going to be switching to another podcast host so that I can get the back seasons. There's about 40 or 42 of them transferred over into YouTube and be able to share my plant love and what I'm receiving with as many humans as possible. So welcome to the show. Thanks for tuning in. Again, season 5, episode 8 today. I'm bringing in the energy of home, my recent trip home to San Diego or to Southern California. I'm in the Pacific Northwest, YouTube followers, just so you know. So seasonally, and you know, the plants that I'll be talking a lot about that are happening here, unless I'm having a conversation with a friend somewhere else, is based in the Pacific Northwest. And it's fall up here. It's getting cold and dark. Normally, actually, my shows are recorded outside in the garden or somewhere else, if we're someplace else. But I like to do them in the garden often. And the garden is cold right now and it's wet. So the next few months, we won't have as many of these initial video recordings outside. Though as the weather turns and it begins to warm up out there, and even if I get one of those days, we will be outside recording this, just so you know. But going home, going down to Southern California recently, I really recognize not only plant friends of mine, I really recognize the numbers of my childhood. I have had a really deep personal relationship with numbers for my whole life, really, for most of my life. Though as, you know, as I continue to mature, I guess it's almost the only word I really know what to use is, you know, my personal being is just going through the maturation process, and it's lifelong. As I continue to mature, I become more aware that this is an actual lens that I see the world. It's an actual language that I'm somehow in tuned with, just the same as with plants. I have some tuning to the messages of plants, to the energy, you know, the frequency energies that plants share. And I have the same thing with numbers as well. And I'll talk a little bit about that later. But going home, it became very clear and apparent that this was a long-term experience in my life. And I'm really just following my path. There's almost no way that I can deny that I have particular energetic frequencies that I'm, you know, individually meant to be aligned with. And if I go against that, I don't feel good. And I don't even know if I can go against it. I don't even know if that's actually possible to go against it. I guess I could do something else as for some particular time, but these are just the frequencies that are around me. So this comes all to, you know, sacred geometry is what a lot of, is what people call geometry. The geometry that talks about, you know, the actual measurements of space and time. Actually, I think it says it's the math that is concerned with space, size, relative position, and properties of space. So it's the math that I got props now. This is so cool. On the podcast, you can't see it, but you got to go to YouTube. It's Aligned with Plants is the YouTube channel, guys. I have actually a few videos, listeners on the podcast on without the video. I have a few videos up of my garden too on YouTube from years. I have one even from a couple of years ago. So you may want to check the YouTube channel out and get some video as well, or maybe even connect who I am, my face, to the many hours we've spent together so far on the podcast. But because I have props now, hey, this is, you know, you would use geometry to measure this. And I guess it would be probably pretty challenging with all of these curves. I don't even know. I'd have my own number for this. It would be 10 on a large level. And then I have to break it down. But you would use geometry to figure out what this is going to look like, how this would look in space, in, you know, in the ethers of time. Geometry would explain what it's actually going to be. The angles, the shapes, or the sides and the faces and, you know, how they are, how they're set up. So, you know, it's said to be sacred because that's pretty much all of life. Like, that's how life is created, is through these geometrical patterns that are energy, spirit, God, whatever we want to call it, literally manifested into matter. It's the patterns of duplication of existence. Life literally, you know, sets up like, I have earrings that are like honeycombs, and I think I've lost them. I'm so sad. I'm going to have to find another pair. It took me like 10 years to find these earrings. But, you know, it's really where we see the principles of healthy ecosystems come up, because geometrical shapes, literally, you know, they're trustworthy and they're stable because they're adhesive. They use each other to create extremely functional, flexible, stable, trustworthy structures of existence, of matter. That's what we are. That's what everything is this extremely stable manifestation of an energetic frequency that has so much diversity in terms of frequency. Like, there's so many different types of frequencies. Everything that you see is a different representation of a different frequency. And so numbers create certain things. You know, numbers create certain shapes, which are able to create certain things. And this is the way that energy, spirit, again, God, whatever we use to talk about the essence behind what existence is that creates everything. I prefer energy just because it's really like a clean, you know, word to use. Energy literally uses numbers to manifest life, especially. I don't know yet all of the different layers of what energy manifests. You know, I'm not sure how crazy it gets. I have a good imagination, but there's enough right here to try to figure out right now. So I'm not moving on past there yet. Because I see the numbers here. I see this language, and I have since very, very young. I think that it has to do with the sensitivities that I have to also hear the plant message. And I didn't hear plants when I was young, though numbers are just as important now. I also kind of have that language down. Excuse me. Let me see, before on the podcast, I would just hit pause there and cough and then come back. Can't do that anymore. But that's cool. So since very small, I have seen life in shapes. Like, I see shapes of everything. Or everything, I see the shapes of everything, and everything basically is like a conglomerate of shapes in the way that my eyes really truly perceive. To give an example, let's see, do I have a prop I can count? I do. This is easy. So, you know, not a cube, but this is a geometric shape. And I've since probably like 7 or 8, and I used to think that I created this as some type of like OCD self-protective thing as a child, but it's just not that. This is just some language I've tuned into. Though it's also my own game. So I won't tell all the whole rules, but just to understand that what I'm saying today, what I'm sharing today, is not really what other people say about sacred geometry. What I'm sharing today is really how I see it. And it's just because I've been seeing it for a long time. So now the definitions and the things are becoming more personal, and I can express them easier. So it's time to express them. I would count each side, corner, and face, front and back. And this would be 10. And I know this is going to be 10 before counting that, before doing all that. But I have to count it. It's a subconscious thing that happens. I do it with all shapes. I do it with things that are 3D, 2D, all the Ds. I do it all the time. People are 100. The human is a little bit more challenging. But all people are 100. They can't be 110. Like, you can get there if you have too many articles of clothing on, but I'll make some type of adjustment and get you to 100. Yo, like this, I've been playing this game for a long time, and never has been distracting. The first time I told somebody I was 19, it was in college, and I finally said to somebody, I used to always think that I would be, that people would just blow it off as like, she's just trying to get attention or something. Like, come on, sweetie. Nobody's talking about this. But the first time I told a girl was in 19, and she was like, that's really interesting. You should like look into that more. So I started to like relax about it and not feel as, you know, concerned about sharing it, that part of me. And looking more and more into it, I realized that this is something that, again, that doesn't actually bother me. It's something that I do totally subconsciously. And it's every time I look at any shape, looking at anything, any wall, the sides, you know, I can sit in a room and have extreme, like deep, you know, prophetic conversations with multiple people and still know what the trim around their windows and their doors look like. And I'm going to know about the mirrors that they have. And I'm going to know about what their TV shape look like. Like in my mind, I'm going to know what their environment actually looked like based on the shapes, because I've counted them all. I know what they equal. I knew before. And, that's it. So it's you know, and I think that that definitely is something special in my brain or something different in my brain. But, you know, how many of us have this type of relationship since childhood with numbers and with counting and with recognizing shapes and with recognizing patterns? You know, it's something that as children we're really good at. We're more, it's more natural. Our senses are more open and ready to receive, you know. No, I couldn't have thought that there was something wrong with doing that as a child. But, you know, culture and, shoot, just hormones probably enough, you know, made it not be that big of a deal for me for really the majority of my life. It wasn't until like my mid-20s that I started kind of taking it serious in terms of trying to look up what's going on. Synesthesia, I think is how you say it, is the only thing that I've come close to connecting with it. And I think it's just in general, you know, like autistic, you know, diagnoses, or maybe that's not the proper way you say diagnosis, plural. I'm not sure. there's so many words I've said on these shows, and sometimes I'll go back and listen. I said satiate one time when I meant to say the exact opposite. It's so funny, but I'm not editing, so I love y'all. I love that you guys keep listening, even though it sounds silly sometimes. What was the word? Oh, diagnose. You know, autism, it seems like what these children really are they're born, and very, very much intentionally so at this time, with a strong ability to use their senses. And maybe other senses are more turned on or more strong than other senses, you know. For me, I really struggle, like, to sense relationship things. You know, there's other senses that are not as good with me. Even my, like, even smell and taste are good, though they're not really that important to me. Hearing is really important. Sight is really important as well. Touches. Anyways, it seems like there's just that there's some of us that are able to hear these languages, and numbers really are one of those very deep and yet basic and universal ones. One and zero. Well, you know, so you kind of, I want to talk about each number, not each number, but a few numbers. And because after we understand a little bit about what sacred geometry is and why it is and that it's a language and that we can tune into it and that some of us are tuned into it, we can go into really actually seeing it. And so you may not see it the same way that I do, but all you have to do is look for it and you will begin to see the geometrical reality of your world, of your body, of your mind, you know, which actually, we're going to talk about psychedelics on another podcast. I don't know if we'll do it this season or wait until winter, but, you know, there's patterns everywhere. But when we really want to start seeing it, then we need to start seeing it. And then there's ways to not necessarily be using it, but making sure that you are aligned, you know, internally, because there are ways that you can get there. You can see things, and maybe, you know, I guess what it is choosing your higher vibrational path, your higher vibrational option, you know, knowing that what you're seeing is almost like a reminder to tell you make the right choice, because you have, you know, I think two, really, there's a dualistic option here, which is where before numbers start before duality. And so what we have to do a little bit, we have to know a little bit about the different numbers and what they kind of mean. Zero is nothing. And again, this is my perspective. So a lot of this is probably going to sound like other information. And then also it's going to sound maybe even like not at all, because I see things really magically. But most of the ways that numerology is understood is the same way that I see it as well. And that's how it sounds so similar, or, you know, there's this overarching understanding of the language, because if you pay attention, then you see it too. It's not hard. So zero is nothing. And then one is something. So to me, zero, you know, represents the nothing. It represents the ethers, the energy, the before. It's, you know, it's almost the egg that births, you know, and not even the egg, but it's almost like that burst with a lot of, you know, in some type of science, they want to say the Big Bang, but it's that energy pushing forward to manifest and then pushing out all of the frequencies. So zero is nothing, one is something. And one is before, so you have nothing and then you have something. And then there can be a lot of somethings. And it's why people even have questioned, are numbers real? Because you can just have a lot of something, but it's either nothing or something. And it's one or the other. And we're already into dualism there. But one represents the solo something, the one, the prior unity, what exists before we start to see more expressions of that. And really zero can represent the same thing. And actually what we have to do is talk about the fact that it's the two together. This is the beginning of duality. It has already been birthed. And now we have dualistic properties of existence. So you have the one going into the zero, penetrating into the zero, you know, impregnating, and then we have the two, or we have the next one. And so, but we'll go forward, and we're going to go from one up. So stopping, not talking about zero anymore. So one is prior. It's prior unity. It's, you know, the source. Sacred unity. Okay. And then two. And obviously two is like two. We can write it two and spell it two, but two is two. It's two somethings next to each other. And for me, that's also 11. 11 is represented as two. It's the same thing. But then you have two, and that's that next level of duality, or almost like the real root rock of duality. It's when you start getting into dark and light, positive, negative, up, down, left, right, within, without, above, below. It's where you're going to start seeing a lot of, you know, interdependent relating. This is where the interdependence becomes, because, you know, in zero and one, although there is interdependence in that as well, it's at all levels. You can always see it. And two, you start having another piece of existence to start showing up for. You have to show up now. You got to be there for the other one. And both pieces are indebted in that. Then we have three. That's the Trinity. That's the Holy Trinity. That's, you know, one of those God founding numbers is three. Because it's what creation does. You now have the one coming together, the one and the zero coming together, the one and the one, and producing the child, the third. Let me get some more water. We had sore throats come in a while ago, so my throat is still scratchy, excuse me. The male, the female, and the child, that's the three. And, you know, all of these levels are equally sacred, and they're all equally as necessary in order to have creation. So that's, you know, almost, I think, why not only these things are simple for me to understand, but why it's able to come out now. Because I can understand really in my heart, this is the way that I've been wired. Lanita, I may have said this before in the podcast, but Lanita, Lanita, it's actually a space with a capital N in my name. My mother gave that to me at birth. It actually means little piece of lint in Spanish, like little piece of insignificant lint, Lanita. And I've always felt that energy of insignificance, because like one, two, and three, although all sound just as like, well, that's the most important. Oh, no, that's, oh, well, zero. Oh, but three, like, none of them are the most important. They're all equally important. Self-love for me is stemmed and birthed in the recognition that they're all equally as important. So the way I love myself is the way that I love everyone else. And so the better I love myself, this is though the work for me. The better that I love myself and the better that I value myself, the better I am able to and capable of loving other people and valuing them. And even valuing like society on a large level so that I can, you know, put aside my own personal, you know, selfish wants to be lost in the trees somewhere and try to just do some work, you know, to help us all feel better. Because two and three, I'm here now. Like, we are dependent upon each other. I got children too, actually. So it's extremely important to me. So then we go into four. Four represents the four cardinal directions, the four elements, the four seasons. Four is integral in our physical manifestation. Four is the first, is the beginning of our duplication in the body of the cell. Four actually has really deep creation energy associated to it. And is in a large abundance in our culture. So four, it's the creative energy of this earth. Whereas maybe two, you know, one and zero, two, three, you're starting to get into the physical earth. Really two as well, because here we are to show up. Three, we're only creating one. We're only creating the child, you know. But four, we're now seeing the creations of the physical realm, the directions and the seasons and this earth's, this, you know, matter's workings. And so that's what I think why four is so powerful, why people love that number and they use that energy so often. It's important to me as well. It is the energy of 22, which 22 is, second level of 11. I'm going to get into those numbers a little bit more. Five, the fifth element. Five is the quintessential, is what they call it. It's the spirit energy. It's in a pentagram. It's the top of the star. It's the head. It's actually, I mean, even, you know, the Aries, it's the beginning, it's the unity, it's the prior, it's the spiritual element. And all elements below that element are dependent upon it. Five has a lot of power. And I recently wrote a blog post at alignwithplants.com on five pentagram. Actually, it was on the Apple. So you might want to check that out to read a little bit more. Six, sex, 69, six and nine are pretty much the same. Another deeply creative energy, sex-based creative energy. So the union of the male and female, the union of the two dualistic sides coming together to create whatever, anything, all things. The honeycomb. six sides is a very stable structure. It's, you know, you want to create instability. And so understanding sacred geometry and numbers and shapes, you know, that's why so many businesses use these shapes. Dell. That's why so many of these businesses use these shapes, because they're creating with the structured energy of these shapes. And it's stable and it's trustworthy. So no matter what you're creating, if you're going to create it within these energies, it's just going to be better. It's going to have more life. It's going to be able to pull in more energy and hold more. If the foundation is stronger because you're using these geometric patterns to hold it. And these are the tricks of our world, you know, and there's so many videos now on YouTube and online about this stuff, but these are the tricks of our world. Not the tricks even. These are the things that can end up making what our world is. You know what I mean? Like, you drive through the city, like the things that actually are making it the city, they're based in this knowledge. So we can use it too. I mean, we are already, we just aren't aware of it. And we're not looking at things like this. Seven, I'm a seven actually. My life path number is a seven. So I can speak on it on and within, you know, within as well. But it's a very spiritual number. It's connected to the seven colors, which obviously there's not truly seven colors, but, you know, to that energy, to the seven chakras, seven metals in alchemy, the seven visible planets. Seven for me is kind of like what all of these, you know, rainbows and tones and chakras and, you know, metals. Like for me, what the seven is within me is this very sharp, directed, easily directed need for knowledge. I need to go after, you know, like specifically though, knowledge. And it's usually of the spiritual type. But I need it. And the path that that takes you on, I mean, that's what the spiritual path usually is, because there is infinite knowledge here. And when you tune into its abundance, that's what the spiritual path is. Excuse me. That's what the spiritual path is. Eight, infinity. I won't even talk much more about it. Infinity. It doesn't stop. Eight doesn't stop. Goes on and on and on, loops back around. It's the way energy moves. It's the way everything moves, the way waves move. It's the way frequency moves. It's not going to stop. It's going to keep going. It's going to bring dark here and then light up here and then come around and bring some more light and then come down and bring dark and never going to stop over, 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 over. And it's the way it is. It's like you can get comfortable. Nine, six, and nine, we talked about that. Nine also has other connections. But it's the 6-9, the Cancer, the Pisces, the two fish actually too. It's just this intense, you know, energy of creation, coming from, as I connected to the Cancer and the Pisces, from the deep emotional, spiritual aspects of ourselves. 10, 1 and 0, 1 into 0. I was born on the 10th, so I feel that energy, energy of creation, Morse code, the computer code. I think I can remember a Simpsons episode, which some of us know now. You gotta pay attention to those Simpsons episodes. I think there was a Simpsons episode as a child that God was 1 and 0. Right? I mean, one goes into O, puts the seed in there, life comes out, is birthed. And then you have the new one, two, you know, whatever. And then we get into things that they call master numbers. And they are like double energy individual numbers. So one's master number 11, back to back, the power, the two. When you got to show up, when it's no longer just you kicking it comfortable by yourself, your perspective, pow, now there's someone I got to show up for. And for me, it's what I'm doing this in. It's the power of this tribe of us, of my plant people, especially. But anybody I know, honestly, or even that's hearing this, okay, you're in this tribe. It's us here standing next to each other, ready to show up to do whatever it is that we need to do to move time the way that it's meant to go. And we're going to do it, and we're doing it. 22 is the next energy up of that. It's also broken down into four. So 22 itself can have so many levels of energy. 22, 7, 10, 11, these are the most important numbers to me. They are all over my life from childhood. And that's actually what I noticed from going home. Since a child, I had addresses that were these numbers that were the numbers that are now the most important to me. And when I went home, I was also ended up staying in and had family in these numbers as well. They stayed in the homes of these numbers, 7, 11, 22. So I just had a little interruption, but we got through it. So trying to bring my head back, 22. 22 is one of those numbers. My daughter was born at 11/22. My first business, my family's business right now, our juice cart, the address of it is 11/22. It's the number of my grandmother's home as a child, which was the address in the home that I felt safe. I didn't feel safe in my own home, which was a number 7, which is really interesting, especially when I think of my astrological path. So anyways, 22 is just that. It's a master number of 4 and of 11, and it takes those energies and takes them to the next level. 33 takes all of those energies, the energy also of the 6 and the 9 now. Okay, so different type of creative energy. And it vibrates even higher. That's the 33. And that's the Christ year. That's the 33rd year. There are so many connections with 33 and especially Christianity. I don't know them all off my top of my head. But 33 is that almost like ready to like get outside of like the lower numbers because, not quite yet. I think 44 is when you're starting to get into the outer numbers. Almost even in astrology, I could see 44 being those outer planets. The ones that take a lot more introspection to recognize and see and yet are also just exactly the same. So 12 and 13, those as well are extremely important numbers. And we can continue to go on with them all, actually. But what I want to talk about before we do that is being able to work with these things in real life, because everything is tuned into a certain frequency, and then you're going to be able to see what those numbers are going to produce in terms of shapes, patterns, and then we can start to see that. So like with 22 being the number that is associated to my daughter and to this first business that really is the reason why I can do this podcast. It was this business that gave me that like ignited the confidence within myself to feel ready to put my voice out there. You know, it was this little business that people, you know, almost gave, you know, they almost gave me permission to do it in the public. It was really weird. And I wish I could have found it all within myself, but it had a lot to do with this business. It had a lot to do with my daughter and becoming a mother with my daughter. That night, you know, I was reborn. And it's based in a self-confidence and in an ability to know what to do, how to create, how to be my own master. And it was in my grandmother's house as a child. And that's how I felt there. You know, I felt artistic in my grandmother's house. She lived with the ocean as her backdrop, and all I could think of always was painting this and creating this. It's also the most watery home. All my dreams go there. Anyways, this is going a little bit over in terms of the scene, but what we then can do is go into using it. And the beginning part of that is to recognize, you know, is this primary information we're going through or that I want to share is to recognize. We have to become aware and to recognize that this is the truth, that this is how things are happening. Look at plants, study plants, watch their geometric formation come about, or go somewhere and find it someplace. Look into crystals, look into nature if you need to, or study it, you know, numerology, however it is, but recognize that this is truly what is happening. We have to align with this truth. We can no longer pretend that numbers is not important. A lot of people try to say, well, what do you need math for? It's not important. Well, you may not need to do, you know, A plus A times 1/2 17x equals, you know, 38. You may not need to do that. But don't let nobody tell you that you don't need to know about numbers, because you do. It is a language. It is the universal language. It's your birthright. And it's the creative language. You know, English is this like super butchered, just crazy language, supposedly, at least. I don't even know, really. I didn't make it up, right? But the language of numbers is not that. It's concrete. We can see it in our physical world that we need geometry in order to understand how this shape, what this shape physically is here, other than just witnessing it. So then what we can do is to start to design our own path of creation. And that's what I'm doing. That's how I'm using numbers now in my life. And I recognize I'm only doing it consciously now because my daughter was born at 11:22. Like, hello, my first child. And when I was transformed was moments before she was birthed, minutes before I saw her crown. They gave me a mirror and I saw this head coming from my core vessel. A head was coming, you know, and that was the moment where it was actually here. That was the moment that I connected truly to the power of 11, consciously aware, prepared, ready, without a shadow of a doubt. Nothing could take me off of my course of showing up. I was prepared to show up. And ever since then, I've been given many more opportunities to show up in this level. And I'm ready to do it. So I'm working with these numbers again in the business, that address. And actually, you know, I could continue on with many more descriptions and connections and bonds and, you know, connections to these things. But I'm using them subconsciously to create and also consciously. And that's not really like, you know, there's different levels of using them. We can abuse all of these energies. You know, we can choose to take, you know, to not honor our divinity and to use these energies in ways that do not create things that, well, you know, it's not even that actually, because those things are needed too. We need to have the dark too. So I don't even really mean that. But what we can do is use these energies to create, okay? And consciously as well as subconsciously. The conscious, you have to just, you know, do it with the right intention, you know. And if your intention is to work in the dark, then that's what it is, and that's necessary. So it just has to be within the right intention and not, you know, like trying to trick the system or trying to gain something, you know, just for personal use. I don't think that ever really works. I don't know. I got to think about that a little bit more. But we start to design our creations, and we start to do those through the number frequencies that are part of our path. My astrological chart is a trip too, because all of the degrees of my positions when I was born. So, you know, the sky is the circle, the zero, right? That 360 degree rotation is really significant, and it's broken down by 360 degrees, you know, individual. So our horoscope, you know, we are born at a particular time. There's the sun and the earth and everything, all the angles, the geometric patterns, the shape of the energetic bodies of our time at your birth. You know, where you're at, there's a degree, there's a number associated to that. And so all of my numbers are associated to these, up to my favorite numbers. my sun is at 1956. And so 19, 10, 56, 11. So I have the three ones, which to me also associate to my children. the Trinity, the coming together to create the three, as well as the 11, the power of the 11, and it exponentially going up. I have 33 in my chart, more so than 22, actually. So I feel like there is an upgrade taking place within my own personal life. But it's all over. I can't shake these numbers. You know what I mean? Like, I can't shake them. They won't go away. They won't. So I use them to design what I want, and I share about them and provide them energy and love and attention and affection and gratitude. That's the next thing, is gratitude, because this is what I am. I am a manifestation of energy that happens to be at least, you know, partially connected to the energetic frequencies of these numbers that I love, that just in my heart make me sing and feel good. And when I see them, I feel good. And the people that are associated to those numbers, I feel good with. And the homes that are associated to those numbers, I feel good with. Because my home did at the 7 had, it was a very deep experience in my mother's home. It just didn't, it had a different experience in my grandmother's home. The 7 and the 22 are different. And then that's the next thing, is then reciprocate. And we'll wrap the show up with this, because then what we need to do is reciprocate this love, this what they give to us. This knowledge, this awareness, this language, we have to reciprocate. We have to pass along. We have to share it. We have to share our own perspective, and hold space for our own perspective, so that other people who are having whose senses are tuning into these other languages can also feel valid and can use their energetic frequency, you know, or their energetic language to create what is within their hearts. Because we all have our own. We just need to know how to tune into them, to use them, to do what we were born to do. And we're going to do it anyways, though we have a lower and a higher option. And you even have a best in both of those lower and higher options. It's just, what work are you here to do? You know, are you here to work in the lower energies, frequencies? We need those people. Or are you here to work within the higher frequencies, energies? We need those people. I'm here for the higher stuff. I prefer the light. I prefer the sun. I prefer what that 360 degree zero, but probably extremely phallic, you know, energetic source, provides. I like the light. I get the dark way more than a lot really understand. I'm cool with the dark. My dark doesn't bother me. She's always been there. I work harder actually just at kind of ignoring her, because I don't know, she's almost not that important anymore. You know, there were so many years and so many experiences throughout life that I had to experience her. She's just not important anymore. She's gotten old, basically. She always comes with the same things. It's always fear or self-doubt or, you know, whatever it is. It's always that stuff. And although I may share and energize and share my feelings about it, it's never really how I really feel. You know, I never actually really want to feel dark or low or like that side of me. I'm never comfortable there. So I'm a light worker. I'm a heart worker. I'm here to do that. And this is my longest one. The conversation just kind of flowed. I wanted to, and I always want to say more stuff in these shows. So they've definitely continued to get longer than 30 minutes, but, had to get in the flow, you know. This was the first one, and it feels good. Couple interruptions, family's a little bit loud in the background. But I don't know. A lot of this gets picked up. I don't know if you guys hear it or not. But I did it. Thanks, James, for challenging me to do this. It feels good. I wish you could see my little setup here, the light and everything. But I did it, and I'm really thankful. Thank you for tuning in to Align with Plants, Align with Health. We'll be back next week. I believe we have a conversation with a friend next week that there will be video of. I don't know if I'm going to be able to have this person on the video or not. The conversations may be just me having conversations with someone. But I'm going to keep this video going, see what else we can produce here. Just step by step, continue to help as many humans as I possibly can align with the healing powers of plants as I do it myself. because I am walking, living proof that it works. And what it mostly does is allow you to embrace that dark side so that you can literally lose interest in it and do the work that you, I know you, as I'm speaking to my tribes of one warriors, we're here, we showed up for each other. You wouldn't know me, I wouldn't know you if it wasn't the case. We're here to just usher in the times and more healthy, you know, solid founding principles are needed. So we're children of the children of the children that are doing this. Our children will continue it, and we give thanks. So I'll talk to you soon, family. Peace.